Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio.
Radio.
Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas, and his humble, oh-so-humble co-host, Crispy. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Hey, good morning out there in Blog Talk Radio Land. This is Brilliant Ideas, and you are listening to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show. We welcome you back once again for another show filled with God knows what it's filled with. I won't say, but we should have some fun. And we appreciate you guys joining us every Saturday morning on this fun foodie show. And I do not have my sidekick with me this morning. Crispy is off on a special project this morning, but this morning I just decided to go out and find my old buddy. You guys probably don't know who my old buddy is, but my old buddy out there in Florida, I've got another one out there. His name is Hank Bob, and Hank Bob is joining us this morning. And if everything's working right on this contraption we've got here, we should have Hank Bob on the phone here with us. Good morning, Hank Bob.
Good morning, man. How's it going over there?
Hey, it's going all right. What are you up to, Hank Bob? What's going on in the land of Florida?
Well, right now, because you get me up so daggum early, I'm trying to get a drink in, man, to make me feel a little better. You know, you got to kind of get started a little shot in the morning, you know.
So you're putting a little, perhaps a little whiskey in your coffee?
Just a little bit of coffee in my whiskey is how we do it over here, man, I'll tell you.
So what have you been doing? Have you been out there barbecuing out there in Gatorland?
Oh, man, we do a little bit here and there, you know how it goes. But we really kind of had to slow down on the barbecue a little bit. It was taking up too much time, and I ran out of wood to use. Didn't have any more wood to use around the house, so I was taking siding off my neighbor's house using a smoker, and they didn't like that too much, so they kind of called the law on me a couple times, and I just had to kind of let go on the grilling for a little while, just kind of slowing things down around the house, you know.
Yeah, I guess if you take the siding off your neighbor's home, that kind of would make things a little bit difficult. Did you offer him any ribs afterwards?
Oh, man, you know, he always knows he can come over and eat whenever he wants to come over and eat, but, you know, he still didn't like having a big old hole in the side of his house.
Yeah, I can understand that neighborly love kind of falls apart there when you start ripping siding off of his house.
Yeah, it kind of got a little tense around here for a couple days, but I put a tarp over the side of it, and he seems to be all right with that. So we'll probably get back to cooking here soon. We went out and did a couple competitions, you know, kind of just doing competition barbecue, getting a couple things going. That seemed to be going pretty well.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that on Facebook. You were getting into competitions, and have you had any luck while you're out there doing the competition circuit?
We've had some luck. I was out there with my buddy Mike Baxter from, you know, can I say the name of his company or can I not say that?
Yeah, you can say the name of his company.
All right, so Michael Baxter with Baxter. I just want to make sure I wasn't trying to shameless plug on your show, you know. But Michael Baxter's original, we went out and we got a team together and went out and started barbecuing. And, you know, kind of it worked out. We got called up stage and won some stuff. It was good times, man.
What kind of place did you come at?
My first competition, I got to eat the place and chicken, but it was at the Smoking on the Swanee, which there was 89 teams out there. So it was against 89 teams and took eighth place in chicken. So that was kind of a big deal for us to get that. And, you know, we managed to get a top 10 finish in some category each time we've been out. So it's been nice.
Well, that's good. Now, you know what? A lot of people who listen to our show aren't grillers, and maybe you might want to explain to some of them when you say chicken. You guys are cooking chicken thighs, right?
Yes, sir. They are still thighs, but it takes me about. I'm a little slower than everybody else, you know, just because I'm slow. But it took me about 6 hours to prep all the chicken. That's just prepping it, you know. It just took a long time. It was a lot of work, but yeah, it's good.
So what, you got big plans with the barbecue? Now, what's the barbecue team called?
Say again. Oh, Aunt Mary's Barbecue Brigade.
Aunt Mary's
yes,
Barbecue Brigade. Now, where,
yes,
who is Aunt Mary?
That's all Mike Baxter's doing. He gets to take care of all of that stuff. That's his name and his name and his aunt. If he left it up to me to name it, it had some crazy name, Sawgrass times two upside down ceiling fan is what we'd call it for summer. So he didn't want me to name the team, you know.
Now, do you use any fancy secret sauce when you're making your chicken and other things that's going into the barbecue contest?
Well, it really ain't too much of a secret. It's pretty easy, you know. I mean, some of it's a secret, but it ain't all a secret. But my big thing is I like to take just a really sweet, good sweet barbecue sauce and mix that with grape jelly, half and half, and then add a little bit of lemon juice to it. That'd make a pretty good barbecue sauce for your chicken.
So you got eighth place in chicken. The first time out of 89 different barbecue teams. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it was too bad. We weren't expecting to get nothing. I mean, we going up against 89 teams. We weren't expecting to get nothing. I was passed out. They called us. I don't know. They tried to have to carry me up in the stage. I didn't know how I was going to make it. It was, well, really, it wasn't so much to pass out. It was more of, you know, I'm a big dude. We was out in the sun, and it was hot, and everybody's sweating. And when you're a big dude, it starts to hurt the walk. You know, it just don't work out.
Right.
Things are getting bad. By the time they called us, I was having to waddle my way over the stage. I thought I was going to fall over. I didn't know what was going on at that point.
So, being that barbecue competition is hard work.
Oh, yeah, it's hard work, that's for sure. For sure.
Hey, I got to take a
quick
break,
man.
I've been doing this radio show, as you can see. We've been doing it almost a year now, and you came on our show about the time we started, and that's back in the time when we were lucky to have maybe four or five listeners every week, but this show turned out to be, now, as people say to me, how many listeners do you have? I say somewhere between 4 and 5 million. So I feel like I'm somewhere between the number four and five million.
That's a good number to be in between 4 and 5 million.
Hey, I got to take a quick break here. Do you like vodka?
I do. Vodka is my drink of choice, honestly.
Well, we've got this vodka out here in California called High Roller Vodka that's made with sweet potatoes. You guys know what sweet potatoes are there in Europe.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And this guy has got a neat vodka he makes out of California sweet potatoes. And since he supports our show and is a sponsor, I got to play his ad. So, you know, I don't want to get in trouble for taking his money and not playing his ads. I'm going to take a
second. Hey, man, he's selling booze. He's selling booze. Play an ad all day for him.
All right, hang tight. This is High Roller Rock. Everybody go check it out.
Hi. High Roller Vodka is the world's first and only premium vodka made from sweet potatoes. In 2011, High Roller Vodka won the double gold San Francisco World Spirits Competition. High Roller Vodka is made with carefully selected California-grown sweet potatoes distilled by hand in a process which creates a sophisticated, unique, elegant, smooth vodka. Life's a gamble. Your vodka shouldn't be. For more information, check out www.highrollerspirits.com.
Yep, go out and check out highrollerspirits.com. You'll like the vodka. And actually, I'll tell you a little secret, Hank Bob. When I take the High Roller vodka and I actually take a little mixture of barbecue sauce and mix in some High Roller vodka, now I'm talking about some chicken that would win some contests.
I'm still dumbfounded by the thought of vodka made for sweet potatoes. I want to taste some of that by itself. Before I even worry about putting it on no chicken, I tell you.
So are you going to be doing any of your videos? I love your videos. For those that are listening who have never seen any of Hank Bob's videos on YouTube, you got to check them out. Just go to YouTube and punch in Hank Bob. You got any more videos up your sleeve?
Yeah, we do. I got several that I've been working on. Last time I talked to you, we were talking about I had a real production team I was wanting to do. You know, I've been doing everything myself, and the videos are fun. But I got a real production team. Well, that I'm still in the same stage I was a year ago. But I got some new videos up my sleeve. We just gotta hunker down and do them. I figure after I get everything calmed down with the neighbor, I might be able to go ahead and shoot me a video. But I don't want him shooting at us while we're trying to film, you know, still being mad about his daggum house. I figure kind of let that die down a little bit.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. And by the way, Hank Bob, I don't know if you've been listening to our show, but I heard through the grapevine that you've heard of Emily Ellen. Well, Emily Ellen, she's joined our team, and she's doing restaurant, I don't want to call it surveys, not surveys, but interviews, where she goes out in Florida and does interviews with new restaurants and kind of does a meeting with the owners and the chefs, and she started doing that for a radio show. In fact, she's going to be doing one for us on today's show, and we're going to be playing later, but understand through the grapevine, you might know her very well, like to get to know her a little bit better.
Man, you going to get me in trouble around the house, I can tell you. But yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Getting to know her. It's her. It's her.
I'm just talking in a friendly manner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind. Let me back that up a little bit. Yes, sir. I would very much like to be friends with her, I can tell you.
Anyway, Emily's going to be doing one for us, a new restaurant opening up in the Orlando College Park area, and that's coming on the show later today. So, Hank Bob, I was going to ask you, I've been wanting to know, since you live in Florida, have you ever grilled any alligator?
I have never grilled alligator. I have had grilled alligator, and I am not a fan. However, fried gator is a whole different story.
Fried gator?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole different story. I'll eat fried gator any day of the week, but grilled is just, I don't know. It might take a special person that's a little more special than me to be able to grill it and get it right, I can tell you.
So when you do fried alligator, fried alligator, what do? You fillet the tail and dip it in some boiling hot oil? How do you fry alligator?
Oh, yeah, man. You got to take the tail and cube it up and batter it up nice and neat and drop it down the hot oil and just fry it up. It's battered and fried. That's all it takes. But if you've never had a gator tail, it don't taste like chicken.
It doesn't taste like chicken.
No, man, chicken tastes like gator tail. That's the way it actually goes. Chicken tastes like gator tail.
I don't know if you saw me on Facebook last week, but I had a rattlesnake on my driveway. And I went out there and popped in with the pellet guns, and then had to end up having a little battle with it with the shovel. My shovel used to be a pointed shovel. Now it's a snub-nosed shovel. But I killed myself with a rattlesnake. And everybody asked me, did I grill it up?
Oh, God. I'm trying not to laugh because I'm trying to picture this battle with shoveling.
Well, I tell you now, you laugh. It was right down scary. I was out there. That thing was 3.5 foot long. And, you know, people tell you, they say, well, they can jump 2 times the length of their body. Well,
oh,
I can tell you what, I can jump 2 times the length of my body, too.
Oh, can we please put a video together and act that thing out like Leonard Nimoy and Captain Kirk? Nay, 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 nay.
It was me against the elements that day with the snake, and he just about got me. He took a dive at me and missed me by about 3 or 4 inches, but I grabbed the shovel and beat his head over silly. But everybody kept saying, why didn't you grill up the rattlesnake? I had rattlesnake one time, but I'm like, yeah, like you. Everybody said it tastes like chicken. No, it tastes like rattlesnake.
Tastes like rattlesnake. That's it. Yeah, I know. I've had rattlesnake. I've had all kinds of snake. I'm not a fan of snakes. I mean, there ain't much I hadn't eaten. You know, I'll give you a story. I went to the barbershop one time. If any of you see my videos, you might not believe me, but there was a time I did go to the barbershop one time. And I was at the barbershop, and I was sitting there, you know, sitting around, a bunch of dudes, we all sitting around the barbershop. This guy come running up in there. He said, anybody want to buy some raccoons? I'm sitting in the barbershop. I got no clue what in the world this guy's talking about. Why in the world are you asking me if I want to buy some raccoons? Well, I was at the barbershop. I figured, I might as well go see what's going on when we get out there. And this fella pulls out these skin raccoons. And everybody looks. I got to see the paw. Got to see the paw. Got to see. They're looking because apparently a skin raccoon looks just like a cat. And the only way you can tell the difference is if you look at the paw. Now, these fools
really?
Out there finding, oh, yeah, the only way you can tell the difference is their skin is their paw. Raccoons got fingers and cats got paws. But apparently, people like eating raccoons. That is the one animal that I can tell you I have not tried at this point in my life. But it is not an animal that I would turn down if someone had prepared it and fed it to me, I can tell you. But, yeah, I'm telling you, man,
wait a minute, is anybody out there listening right now, if you want to send Hank Baum some prepared raccoon, then go ahead and send it to him, and we'll off the air, we'll send you his address, and y'all can send him some raccoons.
Well, let me go ahead and clarify. I'm not asking for anybody to send me no daggum raccoons. If somebody were to put it down in front of me, I'd probably.
I have to tell you a story. You'll like this one. I went squirrel hunting with my dad. I was probably, like 12, 13 years old. And we sat in the tree all day long, and then we went out walking in the woods, and we shot a few squirrel, and they're nasty little suckers. Anyway, all they are is rats with a bushy tail. But anyway, we shot us some squirrels, and my dad, we took them home, and we cleaned them and put them in boiling water, which I don't know why he put them in boiling water, but I remember this like it was yesterday. He put them in a big pot of boiling water, and then he took them out and he stood them on a plate. And I don't know if you knew this, but when a squirrel starts cooling off, his body will, like, contract. So he put the things on the plate, and all of a sudden the squirrel started contracting, and the squirrel literally raised up on the plate and stood up on the plate. Needless to say, I didn't eat any squirrel, neither did my father. So that was my first and last time to sit down and try to have a squirrel dinner.
Man, that's like I don't know the deal with my dinner set up. Look at me. That's definitely a problem, man. I've never bowled squirrel. I've had fried squirrel. I've had fried rabbit, but I've never had bowled squirrel.
You boil it first, I guess, to make sure it's done, and then you fry it. But we went from out of the pot onto the plate, and when those squirrels started raising up on the plate, they went out from the plate into the trash can.
That's probably where they ended up miles, dude. Not if it's that up, look at me. I might be country, but I ain't that country, eh?
Well, I tell you, we do miss your videos, so I'm looking forward to your new video series that comes out again, because I have laughed so hard at some of your cooking adventures. I'm sure they're all very serious, and we're not supposed to be laughing, but I have to say they do crack me up, and I'm looking forward to watching your videos when they come out again.
Man, I tell you, I still to this day, I get emails, I get phone calls, I get all kind of people pop me up on Twitter and all kind of places talking about that Silence of the Lamb burger videos. That's the one I think just about everybody has, it's the funniest video I got, I think, and it totally happened funny by mistake. The ones I try to be funny in ain't funny. The one I wasn't trying to be funny on is the one everybody laughs at. I don't even understand how that works, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how it works here on the radio show, too. Sometimes you think you're funny or not, and at times you're not funny. People think you're hilarious, so go figure.
Go figure. Don't know where that comes from, but I guess my idea of funny and my gauge must be off with the rest of the world. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I guess I haven't figured out if the world is laughing with me or at me. That's been my problem all these years.
No, I'm laughing with you. If I could get a video of you hitting that snake with a daggum shovel, I'll laugh with you for hours.
Well, my neighbor, back to that snake story, my neighbor, it was a Sunday morning, he was out there working in the yard, and he heard me, I was yelling at the dogs, and I was shooing the dogs, and the dogs had cornered the snake on the driveway, and then I'm out there running around barefoot, screaming at the dogs. I come out there with my pellet gun, I'm shooting the pellet at the snake, and the snake wouldn't die, and then I get that shovel out and started beating it. He did say he wished he had a video camera, he said, because it would have gone viral on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, it definitely would have gone viral right up until Peter got a hold of it.
that's what happened, too, when I posted it on Facebook. I think Peter was the one that posted it on Facebook, but we won't go there.
Yeah, they cry about every day. It's a rattlesnake. It's going to eat me. I'm going to kill it. I don't even get it. It don't even make no sense. Well, that's also the difference. Here in Florida, the upside is I can carry a handgun. Wait a minute.
Right.
In Florida. That'll be allowed. You carry a handgun, go through the whole road. I just shot him in the face. And it'd have been one shot, one kill, but it'd have been loud. It'd have scared the dogs and neighbors and the kids. And they're probably just crying babies down the street. But that daggone rattlesnake would have been dead and it wouldn't have come after me, I tell you.
Well, next time I have one, I'll get someone to video it. It would be hilarious. But I'm telling you, I thought I was a goner when that sucker jumped, and he jumped probably 5 or 6 feet towards me.
Oh, yeah, there ain't
a big old, tall, big, fat guy like me jumped like into the snake. So I found out my reflexes were really good.
Yeah, at least you got reflexes. If it had jumped at me, I'd have fainted right there in the middle of the street. It'd have been over. They had a fat guy laying on the street with a snake laying on him, thinking, God, did I bite him and kill him or what? And I'd have been out.
Well, Hank, our time is almost up. We got to go to our next segment, and I appreciate you stopping in this morning and chatting with us. And you got to make sure that you keep us posted with your video series, and everybody's listening. Go to YouTube. Just punch in. All you got to do is punch in Hank Bob, I believe, and the videos come up, and you will see some interesting cooking, I guess you call them cooking lessons, from Hank Bob. And, Hank, one thing I'll recommend to you, you might want to not take the siding off of your neighbor's house the next time you decide to barbecue.
Yeah, I think I'll leave that alone. He's got some good magnolia trees. I might get a hold of them instead.
All right, well, I'm going to go to a break. I'm going to play a barbecue song called Mississippi Barbecue. And, Hank, come back and see us sometime soon.
Yes, sir. Definitely will. Appreciate it.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too, brother. Show us drunk, don't you let them in. Throw on some ribs.
duct tape to fit the back door. More paper towels just to clean up the floor. Want all the neighbors to tie up the dogs.
And that was the Coyote Kings, Little Something Something. We'd like to thank Hank Bob for being on the show this morning. And now, speaking about a little something something on her mind, I guess we better go to our food news, Jersey style. And if everything's working, we should have our food news, Jersey style girl, Laurie. Are you there?
Well, hello, hello. I'm here.
Do you have a little something-something on your mind about food news?
Well, I have something on my mind, but, well, I guess it'll be food news for now. How are you?
I'm fine. Welcome to the show. You're on. It's your time. The food news is a big, by the way. Last week you were a big hit, so I guess I got to keep you coming on now.
Oh, thank you. Well, I thought this was my idea. I was thinking it might be kind of nice, maybe each week while I'm talking about the food news, to also mention a wine of the week.
Oh.
Because everyone knows I love my wine.
Well, that's a great idea. Why don't you just do that?
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, you're easy. Okay.
I'm easy, all right.
Well, I was thinking, I'm going to start off. Now, I found a nice California Moscato. And do you like Moscato?
Is Moscato, is that white or red?
Well, it could be. Actually, Moscato is it's a sweet Italian dessert wine.
Okay.
So if you doesn't know what Moscato is, that's what it is. And I found one, it's under $8. But I picked this one because I actually like dessert wine. I like it before dinner. I don't mind a little sweet here and there. But
well,
it's Mondavi.
You know, having dessert before dinner is always good anyway.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I've always wondered that. Why do people eat dessert last?
Oh, I don't know. They probably want something rich, and then they want that little, they want that nice, hearty. For me, I want a steak.
I actually read this is a true food news story, that if you eat something sweet before you eat your dinner, that you actually will eat less.
Well, you're picking on me now. I said that last week about the dwarf star chocolate, right? Is that what you're referring to?
Well, no, actually, you know how your mother always said, don't eat those cookies, you'll ruin your dinner?
Yes.
Well,
oh my gosh.
It's a true fact. If you eat sugar, something sugary, it's common sense, of course, but if you eat something sugary, then you won't eat as much. And they actually did a study, and I actually read this. I don't know where it was. It was in some food news thing I read a long time ago. But, it's something about the sugar, and it does something to your system and your stomach and all that. So you actually end up eating less. So people actually were losing weight by eating something sugary before they ate dinner.
And that's funny. It does work for me. I do have a tough time eating something sweet. I mean, like a dessert wine, if it's chilled, I could do that, like before, as a cocktail. I could have a little bit of that before the meal. But that's true. Sometimes if they come out with bread in the beginning, and
yep.
I love raisin bread, but I won't have the raisin bread before the meal with the butter. I'll wait because it's true. It's kind of sweet with the raisins, and then it will dull my appetite.
Well, that's a proven fact. You had no idea I was going to be going there after you brought up, how do you say it again, Moscato wine?
Moscato. Mm-hmm. Moscato.
So anyway, sorry to get sidetracked, but I do that. So tell us about the Moscato wine.
Okay, it's just a quick little tidbit. But Mondavi has a Moscato. It's a Woodbridge. And I'll just read a brief description of what it says. It says, it brightens the glass with delicate floral nuances and sweet citrus flavors. This is a light-bodied wine with a lean style and mild manners, offering honey, lemon, and tangerine on the palate. It is a perfect wine for serving with various fruit-based pie.
Mm-hmm.
Who likes their pie?
I found out last week that I do.
Yes, guilty here. Me too. Yeah, or peaches and cream. So so there you go with the Moscato.
Who was the vineyard? Where did it come from?
It's Mondavi's Woodbridge.
Okay, Mondavi's Woodbridge. All right. Well, so you say it's $8. Is it $8 out there in Jersey?
You know what? It's $8. I have to say that's really, really a great price. But it's very difficult to find a dessert wine for under $10. They're more on the expensive side, a little on the pricier side. But anyway, Well,
anyway, well there you go. Maybe we can talk to them about being a sponsor now that you've brought their name up and promoted them.
Yes. Oh, so you're always thinking business. I love that. There you go.
There you go.
We'll have to get a like page from them, hit the like, and then we'll start pestering.
There you go.
Well, I was going to say, since you're on the subject of alcohol, and I know you enjoy, you're going to really enjoy this next article because I know how much you like beer. But you probably heard about this. After a long downturn, beer sales are back, helped by craft brews. And it says shipments in the U.S. are up in 2012, breaking a three-year decline. This is a little bit of a lengthy article, but you know what? I thought it was really, really interesting. So if you don't mind, I am going to read it, but you can interrupt me at any time.
Well, I'm going to finish right now. So beer sales are up, and that's probably because the economy sucks and everybody drinking more. But go ahead and read your article.
Here we go. Well, it says here, brewers are no longer crying in their beer. Okay. Shipments of Americans' longstanding go-to alcoholic drink are rising for the first time since 2008 in another sign that consumers, this is particularly for young men, they are slowly but surely emerging from the recession. Beer shipments in the U.S. rose 1.9 to 141.4 million barrels in the first 8 months of 2012 after falling three straight years, according to the Beer Institute. Americans are drinking more beer, even though brewers increased prices through the recession.
Hmm.
Beer has struggled in recent years, partly because its key customers, blue-collar males in their 20s, were battered by an economic downturn that hammered industries such as construction. And this was interesting to read. Are you more a dark type of beer guy, or are you like a Budweiser or...
I'm a light guy. I don't drink a lot of beer, but I do like the light, like a light Corona or a light Miller beer. I'm not a real party heavy drinker. I drink the 100 calorie Miller light beer, the one with the lime in it. That's called Chill.
Yes. Oh well, then see you're one of the. Okay, then you'll be interested to hear this. Then Americans are branching out from traditional American lagers to sample the ales. Porters is a dark style of beer, and
right.
Deep beers from fast-growing small brewers. The number of breweries in the U.S. topped 2,000 earlier this year for the first time since the late 19th century, and another 1,300 are in planning stages, according to the Brewers Association.
Really?
Can you imagine 2,000 breweries?
Wow, now I do like Shock Top. That's one I posted on Facebook. Shock Top is the one that has orange and oleander, I think, in the beer, and they also have a cranberry beer, and I do like that, but it's still kind of a light beer.
Well, that's funny about that stuff. That was actually a part of the article, but I cut it. I was kind of bored with it. There was a section about the shop top, so I was like, I don't know if anyone wants to hear that.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's my favorite beer. Shock Top is the best, and I would like to have them as a sponsor. And they can pay me. You know, we'll work for food. I will work for beer.
Work for beer? Oh, that's cute. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, this is called Lagunitas Brewing Company.
I don't know how you say it. You say it any way you want to.
Lagunitas Brewing Company more than doubled its brewery capacity in Petaluma, California. Is that near you?
Well, no, that's in Northern California. That's up near San Francisco. Going up into wine country.
My Jane Evans lives up there.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
close to where Jane lives.
Oh, okay. It says it doubled to 600,000 barrels after completing a 19 million expansion this spring. Its sales are up 40% this year, and the company is spending another $25 million to convert a 300,000 square foot steel fabrication plant in Chicago, another friend of ours who lives there, Anthony Dudas, into a second brewery scheduled to open next year. Its top seller is a hop-heavy Indian Pale Ale, a category often called the IPAs.
Interesting. Yeah, here's what's weird. Now, the wine industry is having a tough time. we were talking about wine earlier, and I've been reading that there's a lot of wineries that are shutting down, and a lot of them are having problems and competing with the imports coming from Australia and places like that. So now beer is picking up.
Yeah.
I guess it's maybe because, well, it's not really cheaper either. Well, here in California, you can buy wine pretty cheap, but I'm surprised. That must mean something, that the economy is getting better or more people are drinking their woes away. I don't know which it is.
A little of both, I guess. But it's funny that you said it, because the next part I'm gonna read about is kind of where you're hitting it on the head. There's a shift in the palate, said Tony McGee. He's the founder and part owner of Lagunitas, which began brewing in 1993. The IPAs, for instance, are heavier and more bitter. Even the White House is getting into the act after President Barack Obama bought a home brewing kit last year. Stafford Cousins, Honey Brown Ale, Honey Porter, that's the dark we talked about, and Honey Blonde, sourced from a beehive on the property. And it says it is believed to be the first time alcohol has been brewed or distilled inside the White House.
Wow.
Now, this is what they were saying. I was laughing at this part.
It's pretty bad. Hey, it's pretty bad when the president is drinking, too.
Or maybe it's pretty good.
Yeah, maybe. Depends on which way you look at it and which industry you're in, yeah.
The move to craft-style beers could limit consumption, even though it lifts profits in the $100 billion beer industry. In addition to what you're talking about, the prices, in addition to charging higher prices, many specialty brews have a heavier taste and higher alcohol content than the mainstream brews, beers, making them less likely to be guzzled in rapid fire.
Who's ever done that? Not me.
Not me. Well, I'm not a beer drinker, so I'm actually innocent on that. Yes, I just love my California Malos. So, but anyway, it says here that people will go out and pound. I was laughing. The word pound, Coronas or Miller Lite, but they'll sip craft beer, said Mike Mazzoni. He's a longtime beer industry consultant. And it says the big brewers are increasingly working the craft beer craze and posting double-digit growth.
That's amazing. Well, I know where to invest my money.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because I know where I'm going to invest my money next. What goes great with beer?
Let me think. Peanuts. No.
Pizza. Oh, what's the
pizza? Pizza. Oh, well, yes, pizza.
Pizza and beer, yeah. But I still got the red going with the pizza. Got the red wine.
Oh, the red wine with the pizza. Well, that's good, too.
Yeah. But pizza, a beer, I can't really think. It's too hard for me to swallow. I don't know why.
Well, some people don't have you have to acquire a taste sometimes for beer.
Yeah, I guess it's like scotch. They say the same thing. You don't just start, you know, at 18 drinking scotch. You have to kind of, you know, build up to it. But anyway, according to Packaged Facts' recent report, listen to this. The pizza market in the U.S., food service and retail, sales at pizza restaurants will reach $36.1 billion in 2012, up 3.8 from 2011. I think they should be in the pizza business.
Obviously, pizza.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I do know some people in the pizza business, and it's one of the highest profit margin food products that are out there because it doesn't take a lot of money to make a pizza. And if you go to some of the big establishments, I mean, literally you're paying $15, $20, $25 for pizza nowadays. And they've probably got, you know, $4 worth of stuff. And of course, cheese is more expensive, and everything's more expensive. But it's a high profit margin product.
Yeah, very true. But yeah, and I do like a good olive oil on my pizza. But I am very picky when it comes to pizza. I have got to have pepperoni on top.
Yeah, I'm a pepperoni guy too. I've always been pepperoni. People say, "What's your favorite?" It's got to be pepperoni.
Yep, me too. I guess that's why we get along so well.
I guess so. So what other things up your sleeve do you have on food news?
Well, here's something, just a quick tidbit on something interesting that I read.
Can you tell that I'm hurrying you along?
Oh, really? Already? teasing.
Just move along. And what's your next story?
Wacky food trends. You don't want me to talk fast. This Jersey girl can do that if she wants to.
Well, I know. Don't talk fast. Just go to your next story.
Okay, this is funny. Wacky food trends. This is a quick little thing, but I found this. It says random animals. Recently, some high-profile people in the food world have offered opinions on what we can eat in the name of causes like saving the planet and pushing boundaries. I know this restaurant is amazing, but Rene Redzepi, chef of Noma in Copenhagen, they actually are they were voted the world's best restaurant. They recommend that people in the United States start eating squirrel.
Are you serious? You know, the previous discussion we had with Hank Bob and I talked about eating squirrel.
You're kidding.
No, where were you?
I turned in after, I'm sorry.
Really? So squirrel, you know, I mentioned it in the last segment. If you didn't hear it, basically a squirrel is nothing but a rat with a bushy tail, and we talked about eating squirrels. So is that the new thing, is eating squirrel?
Yeah, they say eat squirrel, but they're so cute, I don't know. I know. But yes, they say eat squirrel. And then bizarre foods hero Andrew Zimmern came back from a trip to Beijing energized by a 10-course donkey tasting. And he said...
He came back from a trip to Beijing energized by a
10-course donkey tasting. Donkey says in quotes, donkey should be on everyone's palate.
That would be kind of a badass dinner, wouldn't it? Get it?
Oh, boy. You're on a roll this morning.
Just thought of something, too. If you eat squirrel, you're nuts. Okay, what other story do you have?
Well, I'm already nuts, and I don't eat it, so forget it. Okay, I have a question now. Do you eat a lot of fast food?
I have been known to swing into a Jack in the Box or a Carl's Jr. on occasion. Why?
Well, I rarely eat fast food, but I must confess, I love White Castle.
Oh, yes, White Castle. Oh, my God, I could eat like 10 or 12 of their burgers.
I know. Well, I actually ate 9. My family couldn't believe it. Yes, I said, buy the whole thing. I think it was like 30 in a pack. I said, trust me, I will eat. I could probably eat the 10, but I ate 9, and they couldn't believe it.
Wow.
Not cheeseburgers, not just plain.
Wow. Well, in my younger days, I could probably devour the full 30, but I can eat 10 or 12. I'm surprised you could eat 9. Wow.
I ate 9. Yes, my older brother Eddie and my sister are my witness. They said if they wanted, they'd never believe it, but I did. Yeah, the cheeseburgers once. It was I was hungry, I guess.
Now explain to everybody who don't know what a White Castle cheeseburger is. It's a very small burger. It's about the size of, I guess, what would you say? It's about the size of a silver dollar? No, it's bigger than that.
Maybe like 3 by 3. Am I off? 4.
Yeah, you're about right. It's about right. It's a small burger for those who never had them before, but they're like addicting, and they're nothing but a giant grease ball between two buns, but they're the best burgers in the world.
Exactly. Yep. And I always crave them. So once in a while, I'll go out and splurge for fast food.
Is that food news, or is that just something you want to tell everybody?
Well, I just kind of threw it in there because I'm getting to the point about Wendy's. So here we go.
Okay.
It says here, Wendy's emerges victorious among Zagat readers. And it says, fast food lovers name it their favorite fast food chain. And real quick, just a little slide note too, being that I'm half Lebanese, a lot of people might not know this, but Dave Thomas, the founder, was adopted by Lebanese parents.
No kidding, did not know that. Now, he knows his daughter is now doing, I don't think she's running a company, but she's doing the commercials. I saw her on the TV the other day. And you know what? They do have great burgers, but they're not making a whole lot of money, and it's funny that they were voted the best, but yet they're not doing too well financially. So what's the deal there?
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think, I have to say, possibly once I ever had a Wendy's. So I'm not, it's been years. I wouldn't know how to judge it and say it. It's been years. But anyway, in a survey in which 10,554 Zagat readers weighed in on everything from their favorite burger and fries to salad and fast food chain, Wendy's and Subway were the big winners. It says, French fries with the skin on and sea salt are Wendy's latest attempt to attract customers with more natural recipes. Wendy's was ranked the top overall chain after taking number one position for both food and decor, and then taking the second place spot for service. Subway, meanwhile, was voted the most popular mega chain and also provides the best service, according to the survey. Weren't you going to the Subway recently?
Yes, you can't pass that. Come on, a 12-inch sub for $5, and you can get everything on it, and it's that is probably one of my favorite too, because they're inexpensive and they're more healthy than fast food, and you can make it your way. That's the old line from Burger King, I guess, have it your way. But
right,
I like
right.
Subway. I go to Subway probably 3 or 4 times a month at least.
Oh really? What kind of sandwich do you get?
Oh, I like the cold cut sub. I like the turkey sub. I like the chicken breast sub.
Oh.
I'm sure you only go.
It sounds like you go more often. Anyway, it says last year, Wendy's beefed up its menu in a move considered historic for the company when it pitched its 42-year-old burger recipe to create the Dave's Hot and Juicy Cheeseburger. It says the recipe makeover included a thicker 1/4 beef patty topped with crinkle-cut pickles, red onions, and tomatoes on a buttered toasted bun. That sounds good.
You know, I haven't been at a Wendy's for a long time. I'll have to check it out. I didn't know they had changed the burgers.
I didn't know it either. Maybe because of that reason, like you said, you know, they need to make a move for the money. I don't know. But it says modernized restaurant redesigns and re-entry into the Japanese market also made Wendy's the fastest rising food and drink search term on Google.
Wow. I never would have known that. Now, you've got 5 minutes. You better hurry up with your stories.
I do? Really? Okay. Oh, my gosh. What do I want to read for five? Okay, I only have 5 minutes. Why did you do this to me?
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. What would be? Okay, let me see. I'm coming up. I have something. I had a really good article. Oh, I had some really good articles. I'm going to have to read them at another time.
And you're wasting your time looking. Hurry up.
No, you're making... Well, because some of these... Okay, real quick. Okay, this is a great article. It's very long and lengthy, but I'll just make it real short. This article I definitely wanted to read because I want to dedicate it to one of my closest friends, Jane Evan Finacci, who is so dear to me. And she was actually on your show just about 2 weeks ago talking about this. It's gluten-free marketing, okay, and it's catching on in the food industry. Tick-tock. As the gluten-free market is exploding, food manufacturers are taking note. More and more food companies are recognizing the need to inform and serve the segment of the market that needs or wants gluten-free products. From gluten-free flours to gluten-free restaurant menus means good things for the gluten-free community. Real quick, this is interesting. But in the United States alone, sales of gluten-free food and beverages hit $2.64 billion in 2010. And
wow.
A report... But this is huge. They all want to jump on board. What they're trying to say is they want to jump on board for this because they see it's such a need. But a report by the Frost & Sullivan consulting firm estimates retail sales of packaged foods free of the protein are approaching $2 billion in a year in the U.S. And what's more, sales are expected to continue growing, even exceeding $5 billion by the year 2015.
Wow. Well, there's another thing, people, if you're listening, you need to invest in pizza, beer, and gluten-free food.
Product. Yeah. Yeah. Am I done?
Yeah, it seems like everybody's gluten-free now, because I was in Fresh and Easy, and I told this to Jane a couple weeks ago, but
there's a whole section now, like a whole row of an aisle of nothing but gluten-free products.
That's what they're talking about in this article. I tell you, I wish I had the time. The article was fascinating to me. I was blown away by it, but that's, you're right. They have a whole section now that they're devoting to this, and it's just helping the people.
Yes, and so like she said, she found out she had a gluten intolerance, and so that's why she had to change it, and a lot of people have to. I think, if I'm not mistaken, she made a comment there was something to the tune of like 30 million people, I believe it was. It may have been more than that actually have issues with gluten. So there you go. There's another thing to invest in. So you're giving us food news and also investing news all at the same time.
Yes. That's your service.
So is there anything else any other tidbits you want to tell us? We know you like dessert wines. We know that you like to eat White Castle burgers. You got anything else you want to tell us before you go?
No, I think that's it. I'm good to go.
All right. Well, thank you for the food news, Joyzy style, and you'll be back with us next week, and we appreciate all the information. And on that note, I'm going to get rid of you and get ready for our next guest. And our next guest is Greg Coffey. Greg Coffey. He's a singer who's coming on our show next, and I'm going to play his song. His song is called That Girl, and right after the music, we'll be on with Greg Coffey, and everybody hang tight. We'll be back here shortly.
I was feeling alright.
was Greg Coffee and his song That Girl. And we've got Greg joining us today as our special guest, our singing guest, coming on here with us this morning to talk to you folks about his music. And Greg, if everything's working all right, you should be on here with me. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a privilege to be on with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming on, and I'm probably destroying it. Is it Kofi or coffee?
It's coffee. Like the drink, not spelled the same.
I was hoping so. I thought it was coffee, but then I thought, oh, shoot, it might be Kofi. So I like it better. So that's a good thing in the morning, that Greg coffee in the morning. How do you like that?
I love it. I love it. I'll have to run with that, yeah.
Great music. I've been listening to the songs you sent over here to me, and great stuff. And wanted to have you on our show, our little cooking show here. And by the way, before we get into the interview, just be thinking in the back of your mind, because you know I'm going to ask you a food question sometime in the next 20 minutes or so. But before we get to the food question, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got in the music business.
Once again, first of all, thank you so much for having me, Frank. I really appreciate it. It's such a blessing to have the opportunity to share the music, and it's a privilege to talk with you. I grew up in upstate New York in a town called Kinderhook, and lived a lot of my life there, and then I moved to moved to Nebraska, of all places, to do an undergraduate degree in music education. And then I was able to do a graduate assistantship, a master's degree at Kansas State University, where I arranged and wrote for their drumline, and both places are fantastic. I love the traditions there, and the faculty, staff, and students are all just were fantastic. So that's pretty much where I leave off. A few months ago, I moved to Nashville, and I have a group of guys with me, fantastic musicians, and that's how things are at the moment. So,
how's it going in Nashville? You know, when you say Nashville, of course you think country. And I wouldn't call you a country music singer, but how's it going in Nashville?
Oh man, it's going better than I deserve. There's no doubt about it. I've met so many wonderful people out here. They're so kind, and the musicians. It's not as when you. When you think of Nashville, and for me as a musician, and I think of it as such a competitive thing for me, I was so afraid it'd be so cutthroat, and everybody's trying to stab you in the back, but it's the complete opposite. I mean, everyone here is so nice and willing to help you out, and we've had just so much success so far. We played a gig. We had a show a couple nights ago at the historic basement underneath Grimey's, and that was actually the first place I had been in Nashville. Where I met Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, I'm a big fan of. But so we're doing some really fun things here, and to your point, the country thing definitely scared me a little bit, because actually the studio I work at right now, they recorded a lot of big country artists, so it's a little unsettling. But you come here, you realize it's just a great place to be in live music and music in general. There's really there's so much going on here, and country's kind of the stigma, but it's not necessarily the rule, and I love it. So,
well, we have a lot of artists, of course, that come from Nashville, and a lot of them are country. And Brian Mack, mm-hmm. which you know him very well, he's the one that turned me on to you and said, "Hey, you got to check out this guy's videos on YouTube." And I played some of your music and stuff. I said, "Oh yeah, get him on definitely." And he's got that Farm Dog Entertainment group, and Brian's been on our show and has some folks. Told us about some people, and a great guy, by the way, too.
He's a perfect example of how, I didn't know anybody coming here. I was basically just coming in cold, and as someone that, really took me under his wing and helped me out and got me some shows, doing some songwriter nights, and he's just a fantastic guy. He's a great mentor to me, and I really appreciate having him as a friend. It's just a really, really great guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And so you just cut this new CD. I assume these songs that you sent to me are all part of the new CD?
Yeah. I just put out the record. I did, yeah.
What's the name of the record?
It's self-titled. It's just Greg Coffee. That's my
Greg
first,
Coffee.
Yeah.
You should have called it Coffee in the Morning, Coffee in the Evening, Coffee All Day Long.
You know, I would think that maybe if that was a stage name that I recently changed to, I think I may have done that, except my name's been Coffee my entire life, so I've gotten those jokes since kindergarten. So I'm very much okay with it not being that for the time, you know.
How many times have you been the Bean Boy?
Yeah.
Now, exactly. Mention to everybody who's listening, what is your website in case they want to go check out your music? I guess they can find your music on iTunes, and also you have a website?
Yeah. It's www.gregcoffeemusic.com. And that's EY on the coffee. But, yeah, you can find links to my Facebook page, my Twitter account, my YouTube page, which is getting a lot of hits, which I'm so pleased about, and you can find bio information, photos, and the social media sites are a great way to find out where we're playing in Nashville or what tour we're on. And so, yeah, gregcoffeemusic.com is probably the easiest way to get there.
We've got the link to your website right here on our site, so the listeners, all they have to do is just click and go to your link. Now, do you have a Facebook account also?
I do, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that's where a lot of the people that listen to our show, we pick them up on Facebook. I found that Facebook is one of the better of all the social media locations. You get more bang for your buck. And so anybody's trying to check him out, sounds like he's on just about every one of the sites you can find him. I tell you what, Greg, let's play another one of your songs. By the way, did you write all these songs you sent to me?
Yeah, everything on the record, I'm so happy. Everything on the record was recorded and produced by me. I love doing that. I really love having all that creative control. And, but I did have some guys play on the record on a couple of the tunes, but for the most part, it's all written and recorded by me, and I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to do that. So.
Well, good for you. It's good stuff. And I'm going to play, the next song I'm going to play is called Blue-Eyed Siren, and everybody hang
That's
tight.
Right.
We'll be back to, we'll talk to Greg afterwards, and we'll also ask him a couple of food questions while we've got it. So everybody hang tight. This is Greg Coffee, Blue-Eyed Siren.
And now with Greg Coffey, Blue Eyed Siren, if you're just joining us this morning, we have Greg calling from Nashville, joining us on the show. And Greg, it's another great song. Now, tell me, what is a Blue Eyed Siren?
let me first say, I did write the tune with, it's the only tune on the record that I wrote with someone else, and that was my friend Austin Barnes. He's in the group we play with here in Nashville, and from what he told me, and I don't know my mythical creatures very well, but I think the idea of the Blue Eyed Siren was that she would sing her song to sailors, and they would be lured in by her voice, and then they'd eventually perish and die. So basically, it's every relationship any guy has ever been in that's had a broken heart, you know.
Yeah, I thought it was a mythical creature, but then again, I thought, well, I better ask anyway, because I've seen that on several movies, and they're usually sort of a mythical-looking woman in, like, white flowing clothes and singing.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's your big plans there in Nashville? So you said you just played a gig recently, and are you playing pretty readily now in Nashville in different places, or just kind of taking it as it comes?
Yeah, we sure are, and definitely have to take it as it comes here in this town. And but no, things are going so well. We have a bunch of gigs already lined up, and getting a good following here. And I'm doing a lot of songwriting with folks at ASCAP. Have been fantastic in hooking me up with some publishers down here. I'm starting to write songs, and trying to cross genres as much as I can. But I'm also doing a lot of teaching, in the schools, teaching a lot of drumline stuff, percussion stuff, music. So I'm kind of trying to do it at all, you know. And then, like I said earlier, I work at a studio down in Franklin called Dark Horse, and I'm so blessed to have the opportunity to go in there every day and get to watch some masters, you know, masters of their craft, do what they do and learn from them. So.
So
I'm getting it all here. I really, really love
percussion,
it.
Is that what your main thrust is as far as musical instruments, or do you play various different things?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, I've never actually played drums in a band, but I've studied it for the last 22 years. So,
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy. I have my master's degree is in percussion, and I've done some session work here in Nashville, some drumming, and that's been some drum set stuff, and that's been great. But in the groups I'm in, I play mostly keys, and that's probably what I practice the most nowadays. And I'm trying to get better at keys and guitar, you know.
I try
and do everything I can.
All right, we're talking food for a second since you're on a food show. So to the guy in Nashville, do you hang out at the barbecue joints, or do you do your own grilling, or you do anything fancy in the kitchen?
No, I do not. I am probably the worst person in the kitchen that ever tried to do anything in the kitchen. But I can tell you, Nashville, no slight to any other place I've been, but Nashville, the culture here is incredible. The different types of foods. I went out with a producer once, and he took me to a place called Kalamatas. It's a Greek restaurant down in Cool Springs. Just fantastic food. And you know, you get that, and then you get the other end of the spectrum. You get the barbecue place. There's a place called Uncle Dude's up in White House. White House, just a little bit north of Nashville. And, I mean, it's the best barbecue I've ever had. So, yeah, I definitely love eating. So,
for one extreme to the other. Here's the question, because we don't have really a big criteria to be on our show, but we always say, if you can boil a hot dog, you can be on our show. Can you boil a hot dog?
I think I can handle that, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I may be able to put it in the bun and put some ketchup on it, too. We'll see.
Well, then you qualify. Let's play another one of your songs. The one you sent to me here is called My Letter. Is there a story behind the lyrics on this particular song?
Yeah, you know, I think disclosing whose songs are about to me, it can get real dangerous. But, you're in a relationship and it ends up not working out, but there's a lot of things, you know, you wish you could say to that person, and sometimes you don't ever end up ever saying it. And so, one of the things that you do is you write all your words down and maybe send it, maybe you don't, you know, and kind of the idea of the song, you know, I have some words, you know, left unsaid, and the best way to do it is to just write it down and send it or not, you know.
All right, well, let's play that song, My Letter, by Greg Coffey, and everybody hang tight, and we'll be back here after the song in about 2.5 minutes.
So thank you.
There are so many things I want to say to you. My time is fading fast, so this is what I'll do. I'll use the written word, a message from my heart. I'll do my very best to hear you is where I'll start. I write all the words that my mind won't let me say to you. So I write all my words, send it in my letter to you. Goodbye to all the people that I thought I knew. My time to run away, get a different view. I know that things are gonna change. I'll do my very best, my letter will explain. So I'll write all the words that my mom won't let me say to you. So I'll write all my words, send it in my letter to you. There's nothing that can replace the spoken word face to face.
You mentioned the Beach Boys a little while ago. Where do you get your inspiration for your writing and your music?
Well, I had the best parents in the entire world growing up, and from birth, you know, I have a big family. I have 8 brothers and sisters, and they're so amazing. And from birth, you know, we were all exposed to so many different types of music, anywhere from bluegrass to opera to you name it. We were exposed to it. You know, my older brother, I can remember having him listen to Queen when I was real little, and Bohemian Rhapsody, and it just exposed to so many different artists. I'd probably have to say the Beach Boys and Brian Wilson and his music is probably the most influential to me, just because I've spent a lot of time studying the music and picking it apart. And but other artists like Stevie Wonder and Michael Jackson have given me a vast supply of musical ideas and rhythms and melody lines that have inspired me, you know, consistently. And those are probably the most consistent influences that I've had, so for sure.
Well, it's really great stuff, and I see you going places. And we've met a lot of people since we've been doing this show now for a little over a year, that there's a lot of talented folks out there, and I say it time and time again, but it ain't what you know, it ain't who you know, it's who knows you. And getting yourself in the right in place with the right people who know you, that's the key to making success in music, in Nashville, a place like that. But, you know, the nice thing is you've got the talent, you just got to get in the right place, and hopefully Lady Luck will find you.
That's right. Tell you what, leave it up to my creator. He's in charge. I just got to work hard, you know.
Amen to that. Well, we appreciate you coming on our show and sharing some of your music and your story. And I want to make sure those that are listening to you can click on the link that's on our website here for the show. And you can find also find Greg's music on iTunes. You can find him on Twitter. And you want to give that Twitter address one more time, Greg?
Sure. I'm at Greg Coffey Music, and the website is gregcoffeymusic.com. I also have a Facebook page. You can get it all from there. And you can find me on iTunes, and Amazon, CD Baby, and Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you get music. If you're interested,
great.
I'd definitely love to share the music.
Well, keep us posted as things develop, and if you come out with some more music or you're heading out to California, make sure you let me know, and we can get together, and I'll grill you up some barbecue San Diego style.
Hey, that sounds great, Frank. Thank you so much. I'm so blessed to have the opportunity, and just thank you so much to you and your staff, and hopefully we'll talk with you soon.
All right, great, Greg. Take care, and we'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, my friend.
And that was Greg Coffey. Everybody, check out his website, check out his music, go there and buy it. He's got great stuff, and we appreciate him taking time to be on our show. One thing I want to make a comment, we are making some changes, and there will be some changes in our schedule coming up, just to let you know that we will be stopping our Friday night shows, and we're going to extend our Saturday morning shows. So that'll be coming up the next few weeks. Plus, there's some more changes coming on board. We've got new folks joining us. Emily Ellen, which you guys are all familiar with. Emily will be joining us. She was supposed to be on today, but we've had a little problem with getting that all lined up. It should be on the next week or two. She'll be going around doing different interviews at different restaurants throughout the country. And then we also have a surprise. Saber Ricci will be joining us with a monthly interview set up where she'll be coming on talking about, I guess I won't tell you all the secrets, but I'll just say it's a recipe for love, and Saber Ricci will be joining us, and along with our regulars, Katarina. Katarina will be, or Kitty Cat as we call her, will be joining us next week with some more of her sexy, seductive sweets for Halloween. And then, of course, Laurie will be back with our food news. So, everybody, thank you for joining us each and every week. We appreciate all the support. We also like to thank all the sponsors for hanging in there and dealing well with us week after week. And also, just thank you for listening. We have grown. And now we are sitting at number 2 on Blog Talk Radio in the food category, and we couldn't have done it without you guys. We appreciate all that you've done. And on that note, I'm going to close out with we had a, if you guys remember, a group called Coleman Brothers who played for us a few songs a couple weeks ago. I'm going to close out with their song called Ghost Town, which is a great, great song. You guys come back and join us next Saturday. Next Saturday we have Dave Kilner, like I mentioned before, Katarina Kitty Cat, and also we have Dustin Blackman from, he's from a beef company. He's going to be talking about private label beef, Angus beef. So everybody, see you next week. Take care. And this is Green Ideas Radio. We're over and out, and this is the Coleman Brothers Ghost Town.
Echo of my footsteps, match the beating of my heart. The shadows and the loneliness since we've been apart. I'm haunted by a heartache and a never-ending swirl of desert dust and tumbleweed. You've left me in a world that's a ghost town. Could be people everywhere, but all I do is stand into this ghost town without you here, and the pain is hard to bear in this cold, dusty air. Sing.
Away. and then 700